You want me to shout this morning? Okay. Wow. Well, praise the Lord. How's everybody doing right now? Isn't God so good? Let's try this out one time. God is good? And all the time? Okay. I thought I was in the house of God today. I just wanted to make sure, you know, I'm telling you, the Lord has moved mightily today. He is moving still right now. And I just want to give a hand clap of praise to the Lord for what he's already accomplished in us this morning. Amen. Well, Pastor Paul, my good friend Pastor Paul, he did warn you, it's a two-hour message. No, we're good. I've actually got to cut this a little bit shorter here. We're definitely not going to beat the Baptist to the Golden Corral. But at least we'll grow together in God's Word this morning. Before I get started, I just wanted to extend my gratitude, my love, and honor to the man of God of this house, Pastor Steve and Mary Alice, who's out right now getting much needed rest and relaxation, y'all, on this this festive week. But he's actually reached out to me a couple months ago, and has been trying to get me here to just share God's word this morning. So I just wanted to say thank you, Pastor Steve, and thank all of you all for having your hearts open, your ears open to what God wants to do. Now, I want to share a little bit about myself. I know many of you already know me and my wife, Sydney, but some of you may not know me at all. I just have a picture here I want to show you here, three pictures put together. If you forget everything about me, just remember the most important part. I am Sydney's husband. This is my beautiful wife, Sydney, who's sitting right over there. Wave at him. Okay, there she is. She's here. This is our puppy, Lumi, the Frenchie. He is about a year and a half almost. He is about as crazy as the day we brought him home. And just amazing. My wife and I, we've actually been in this area, ministering in this area, Fort Mill, Rock Hill area, for about 5 years. But in total, I've been in South Carolina now for about 10, 11 years, been in ministry full time. And then, but really, the best part of the story is that God saved a sinner like me, cleaned me up, healed me, restored me. He set me free. And that's just about it. That's all you need to know about me. It's all God. God gets all the glory. He's amazing. He's awesome. And if you would, help me out a little bit, because I can't come up here to think I'm going to teach y'all something new. I'm going to blow the doors out, do this and that and the third. I'm not. God is the only one that can change your heart. God is the only one that can set anyone free. God is the only one who has the words of life that we all need this morning, so that we can do exactly what he's called us to do. So would you help me here this morning? Would you just bow your heads, close your eyes, lift up a hand or two right where you're sitting, and let's just call upon the Holy Spirit for these next 15 minutes to just give us exactly what we need out of his word so that we can change the world together. Heavenly Father, we just come humbly to you. Lord, we ask you, Lord God, that in these few moments here, have your way, God. Have your way. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your sweet presence, God, that we're experiencing right now, Lord. I just pray, God, that we would honor you, Lord, with our listening. God, open our eyes to see you more clearly. Open our ears to hear your voice and touch our hearts to do what you're calling us to do. Give us the boldness by your Spirit, Lord. And God, we give you the honor, the praise, and all of the glory. It's in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen and amen. Well, this morning, the word that God has stirred upon my heart for weeks upon weeks is this one right here, the one that he is already speaking in and through us throughout the worship this morning, throughout prayer this morning, and now this is a continuation of what God's already doing, and it's about unity. Say it with me, unity. One thing about unity is you cannot spell unity without you and I. Is that cool? You can't spell unity without you and I. So, won't you do me a favor? Turn to your left, turn to your right, look at that person. Yes, that's a real human being, okay? I want you to smile all seven teeth at them and just say, I need you. That's unity. Wave at me if that felt good. Maybe you hadn't heard that in a while. Turn to the other person on your other side. You didn't say anything to. Maybe you got a beef with them. Maybe they, you know, cut in front of you. Maybe they took your seat this morning and said, no, no, that's my seat. But they don't know. Just say, I need you. Unity. 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 True unity. God is calling us as his people to be unified more than ever before. You see, outside of these four walls, I know it don't happen in here ever, but outside of these four walls, we see a world full of division. We see a world full of contention, anger. I mean, we lack respect for one another. I mean, I'm sure you'll experience it in just a few moments as you pull away here and you say, oh man, what a glorious day. That was an awesome service. Lord, I'm ready for this week. And then you got somebody to just cut you off. Unity's just out the door then, huh? Guys, we need unity. There's nothing more ugly, more hateful, more worrisome than division. I'm going to say it again. There is nothing more ugly than division. You see, a house divided against itself cannot stand. The Lord tells us in his word. And I believe a part of Pastor Steve's vision here and the leadership here for what God wants to do in Rock Hill, what God wants to do in South Carolina, what God wants to do in the USA cannot be done unless we are unified. We need unity. More than a sports team, more than wearing a jersey or some sort of color, more than saying, okay, well, I'm a Pentecostal or what have. There's other ways that we like to group ourselves in different ways to give us a form of unity, but the true unity lies in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the power of what it truly means to consider your brother or your sister better than yourself. It's time for unity. If we're really going to grow, as we've been talking about this Grow series, we cannot grow if we're not together. I'm not saying that everybody needs to speak the same, pray the same, talk the same, look the same. There's beauty in differences. Otherwise, God would make us exactly the same. But that's not what he did, is it? What we need is to accept one another, receive each other, love one another through godly love, throughout of our petty differences, maybe certain different world views, and be unified. Be unified. See, tomorrow we're getting ready to celebrate a very special day, right? We've got July 4th, okay? Independence Day, right? Some of you have already been preparing this weekend, getting your fireworks ready, getting your hot dogs, getting your Burger King, burgers. Don't go to Burger King on July 4th. Just don't, okay? You're getting your fixings together, and we're getting ready to have a barbecue or some kind of gathering. Some of y'all are just planning to work. Who am I talking to? I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I'm with you on that. It's a time where we together reflect on the freedoms that we have as one nation. Y'all, we're 50 states, but under one nation, under one flag. Today, I want to remind us in God's house, as God's people, we have something even better than that. We're part of one kingdom spanning multiple countries all around the world, multiple generations under the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ, bought by his blood. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I mean, can someone pledge allegiance to the King this morning and give a mighty praise to God? Hallelujah. This right here, what we see right now in unity is God's design. He planned this. He envisioned this. This is his idea for medicine on a sick and dying and dark world. We ought to celebrate that and be unified and remain unified. Don't believe me that this is God's idea. It's always been a part of him. You see, God is one, but he's expressed himself in three persons. He's always been Father. He's always been Son. He's always been Holy Spirit, right? I remember that before he created a man in the garden, what did he say? He said, let us make man in our image. In the image of God, we are created. But he's not divided in himself. He's completely unified. He's Almighty God. But we get to see in a picture of who he is as image bearers of God, those differences, but that unity in him. Let me explain. He created Adam after all of creation. He said after everything, before he rested, that it is good. But a very particular and peculiar thing happened when he created Adam. He formed Adam, breathed life in him. Adam's looking face to face in the eyes of God, walking, moving about in the cool of the day with a purpose. But yet God did not say that it was all good because he saw that Adam was alone. He did that on purpose, y'all. It's not like God is, discovering things and saying, it's for us to get a grasp of his purpose in everything. He said he needed a helpmate. So what he did was he put him in a deep sleep. You know the story. Grabbed one of his ribs, and out of his rib, he fashioned a woman. A helpmate, perfect and complete. And then, together, he said, in their marriage unity, that this is good. This is good. It takes two. It takes two, right? We're reminded in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 30 says, one man will chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight. Amen? Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them, Jesus reminds us. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 10, the New Living Translation puts it as this: if one person falls, the other reach out and help, but someone falls alone is in real trouble. I wanted to highlight these few of dozens and dozens of dozens of scriptures that backs up this same truth to show us the very fact is that we need each other. We can't be alone. In fact, we're not called to be alone in our own walk with the Lord. We're better when we are together. We're better and we're operating under God's design when we're unified and unified in love. I want to jump to the end in John chapter 13, verse 35. This is Jesus' heart and his prayer for his disciples before he was ever put on that cross. Part of his prayer was this: that your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. In fact, the very fact and the only true way that the world would know that we actually belong to God as Christians is by the way we're unified in love for one another. You see, this word has been stirring in my spirit for a purpose. All this morning, I've been weeping. Throughout worship today, I've been weeping. Because God will not allow me to let go the fact that there's one person, a group of people, I don't know what it is, but there's someone in this house this morning where you've been dealing with feelings that you're worthless, feelings that you don't belong, feelings that you are an outcast and that there is no place for you. I'm here to tell you right now, I don't know who that is, but I'm here to tell you right now that that is a lie from the pit of hell. I'm here this morning for you. I am here to tell you that you've been listening to lies and God loves you. God cherishes you. God considers you valuable. God considers you worthy to die on a cross for. So receive his love this morning. Know your worth. Know that you're worthy of his love. Know that God loves you and that he has a place for you right here within this community and in the community, the universal community of the body of Christ. You belong. You belong. This morning, I want to share with you the main passage this morning, and we'll chop it up and give God glory and praise about it, and we're going to live it together. Amen. Would you turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll go through verse 12 through 27. I don't have a lot of time, so you need to hurry up. Paul is talking to the church in Corinth, who has been experiencing many problems as a young church. But God calls them, even though they are broken in many ways, haven't got it right, having issues, some unifying issues as well. God calls them saints. They're a holy people. So are we this morning. We're going to learn from what Paul is speaking to this church. I believe it's the same word that we need to hear this morning. Verse 12, chapter 12, verse 12 says this: just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts from one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, we were all given. Read that with me. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. Continuing on, let's read the next verse. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, ew, where would the sense of hearing be? Y'all just heard the Pastor Brad version of that verse. If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. I want to stop right there and just highlight one part in this here. In verse 13, Paul mentions something that we go through a lot and we see in our day-to-day. Categories, divisions. Okay, you're a Jew, you're a Gentile. You're a slave, you're free. In Galatians, I'm reminded in Galatians chapter 3, there talks about those divisions in the church of Galatia there. That there was no longer Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female, for we are all one in the body of Christ. It's not to say that there isn't things that made us different, but because of what Jesus done, we are one together as one body for him, through him. We're one. And so that Jew or Gentile means doesn't matter what country you come from, doesn't matter what kind of cultural background or even bloodline, because of what Jesus has done and how he shed his blood on the cross, we are unified under the blood of Christ. This slave nor free means exactly what it means, but even on a deeper version and deeper understanding, it also means your social or economic or socioeconomic background. God will unify you. Doesn't matter how many millions you have in your bank account. Hello? Want to be my friend? See how we do, right? Doesn't matter if you overdrafted this morning. Who am I talking about? Oh, Lord, don't raise your hand. I'm praying for you. Okay? We are unified. Doesn't matter what you do in your job, how much you've earned. We are all one, and we all belong. We all have a seat at the table, and you're all unique and special in the eyes of Almighty God. And finally, this whole idea of male and female. Oh, Lord, the culture has a whole lot to say about that today. But the truth remains, okay? We are all one in Jesus. We are meant to be unified. Yes, we have differences. But together, we have a purpose as one body. One body. I'm going to wrap this up with this here. Paul says in verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Say that word with me. That's a long one. Indispensable. Verse 23, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. The parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together. Who put the body together? God did. You don't like it? Blame him. Don't do that. Don't do it. I'm warning you. I love this part. God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, none, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. I want to say this to that person in this room that have been dealing with that feeling of worthlessness, dealing with the lies of the enemy. The Lord sees you. And as God's people, we got to do a better job at seeing one another, being there for one another, giving grace to one another, extending a hand to one another for unity. You cannot spell unity without you and I. I don't know if anybody in this room has experienced maybe a part of their own physical body that just is nagging in pain. Some of you say, yeah, my back hurts right now, Pastor Brad. Okay, yes. Lord heal you right now. But I mean it. Anybody ever stubbed a toe before? Okay. I mean, picture this, okay? Done it recently. Really, really hurt, okay? I'm in the dark. It's at night. I want to get a glass of water. I don't have anything by the bedside. Oh, man, I got to go. But you never want to turn the light on because you don't want to wake up. Be hard to go back to sleep. Well, I got a glass of water. I'm drinking this water, getting ready to put it back. And I just didn't realize that there is something called an end part of a table. And stubbed my toe really bad. Y'all know exactly what I said in that moment. Hallelujah, right? Yeah, yeah. Ultra spiritual me, yeah. You know. No. And it hurts, y'all. But here's the thing. How come that little itty-bitty thing called a big toe hurts so bad? You hurt that thing and your whole body's just going to just drop, just collapse, right? Your whole body feels that pain and is reacting to that big toe being stubbed. How much more is it in God's body as the body of Christ that when one of us is stubbed, that no matter how insignificant you may feel, when one of us is hurt, we all should feel it. We all should feel it. We all favor that hurt in that room. We should be like that. You see, as insignificant it seems a big toe may be, did you know that without your big toe, you wouldn't be able to physically run, period? Did you know that without your big toe, y'all are thanking God for your big toe now. Look at this. Follow me on this. Without your big toe, you would actually lose the ability to actually balance while standing. Right now, I'm able to balance on one foot because that big toe is gripping on the ground right now. Seemingly insignificant, full of purpose, all part of the body, all by God's design. Without your big toe, you wouldn't be able to walk right. You would need extra help. How much more is that one or two in this room who are hurting right now don't know if they actually belong a part of the body, should be nursed to health and considered in a more significant way. You'll think about that next time you stub your big toe or step on a Lego. Oh, oh man. Some of you parents saying, oh, hallelujah, pray for me. I hear you. I'm wrapping all this up this morning. As we leave God's house this morning, before I close in prayer and we go and we celebrate, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you in love to consider others better than yourself, to love one another so that we can be acknowledged as God's true disciples. And that through our love, respect, and the way we show unity, not just for just this morning, but every week, not just for me and how you've received my wife and I and my family these many months, but for Pastor Steve, for Mary Alice, for Pastor Jordan, for Pastor Paul, for all of our volunteers and workers and worship band members and everyone in between. We ought to love one another. And I got to say this from the heart of Pastor Steve. If you're in this body, you're here today, and you don't really know kind of where you fit in, where you should serve or what have you. Whatever you do, just know you fit. Just jump in. Let the Holy Spirit decide where to place you in that puzzle piece of the total perfect picture God has for this church body and this community. See, the word community in and of itself has a lesson. Community, common, unity. We can't have a community if we're not unified. We can't have a community if we don't have love for one another and respect for one another, praying for each other, encouraging each other. So this morning, as we leave this house, one more time, look at to the person to your left or your right and just remind them. Just tell them one more time, I need you. I need you. Express encouragement over one another. Let them know that they're welcome. And if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Brad, I want to be welcome. I want to be part of this community. I don't know where I fit. I want to pray with you this morning. Would everybody bow their heads right now in this moment? And just before the Lord right now in his presence, as he's already ministered mightily, will you allow him to do one more miracle in you? If you say, Pastor Brad, I need you to pray for me because I need to be a part. I feel like I'm not a part, but I want to be a part. And I need a Holy Spirit to just help me and show me. I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm here to pray with you. Will you lift a hand? Who am I praying for this morning? And be acknowledged before God Almighty. Amen. Amen. Is there anybody else? Say, hey, amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? Say, hey, I want to be a part of this community. I want God to do something special and unique right now. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel like you're falling out of grace with your walk with God. Maybe you feel like you're out of step in unity with the Lord. And you say, Pastor Brad, I need you to pray with me right now. I need to come back home. I need to be a part of this body, the true body of Christ. I need the blood of Jesus to wash me clean and to set me free. If that's you, would you lift a hand as well? Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else? Praise God. Well, let's do this. Could we as a family, right where we're seated, could we just say this prayer? I want to lead you in this prayer, but make this prayer your own. We're going to receive the Lord, and we're going to ask God to unify us on a deeper way. Maybe you're sitting next to someone, maybe it's a spouse or a friend. Would you mind placing an arm over their shoulder, right where they're sitting at? No one needs to be alone. And just say these words as your prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm coming to you because I need you. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean by your blood and make me unified in you. From this moment, I belong to you. And I turn away from all sin. From this day forward, I'm changed because I'm receiving you. Wash me clean. Make me new. I trust you forever. In Jesus' name. Let's take another deeper step right where we are. Could you stand to your feet as we get ready to dismiss? Before I pray a blessing over you this morning, I just want to say thanks again just for your patience. I know it's been a long service, but it's been an awesome service, y'all. Let's give God the glory this morning. Amen. Remember, when Jesus was crucified and they laid him in a tomb, on the third day he resurrected in power, defeating death, hell, and the grave. You see, he also, for many days and weeks, revealed himself physically in body before hundreds of people. Many times. But even then, resurrected, it was never his design, the Father's design, to stay in body on earth. You see, he said, I need to go. But if I go, I'm not going to leave you as orphans here. I'm sending a helper, a comforter, the Holy Spirit. Don't go anywhere until my gift has been bestowed upon you. And what happened? They were all unified in the upper room, and they were in prayer. And the Holy Spirit, that gift, that promise, who's here this morning, still on the earth, 2,000 years later, still moving and operating and healing in a divisive world. He started the church that day of Pentecost. Hundreds came to him, thousands more each day, and as the weeks and months gone by, now billions strong, even unto this very day. Many have come to the Lord. This was his design. Christ in you, the hope of glory, to be his hands and his feet physically together. Together, 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 unified, no division. Yes, differences, but no division. We can't spell unity without you and I. As we leave this place, go in the power of God and go as God's designed medicine on this broken and hurting world. Would you stretch your hand toward my way? I want to stretch back and bless you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray a specific blessing this morning over your people who are called by your name under the banner of Christ. May each one today go in the power of the Holy Spirit, the same power that came into that upper room. May we go together in unity as God's people, as one body, with respect for one another, godly love for one another, growing together with each other to do your work, to do your will, to finish this fight for your great commission to see others know you too. May the face of the Lord shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Spirit of God give you peace that surpasses all understanding. And may you do and be brave. Do the work and will of God always. In Jesus' name, I bless every single one of you. Say, I receive it. Amen. Amen.